A62. Number 5A.
All right. Let's take spirit. God is spirit. Well, everybody says that. Religion says so, the Bible says so, God is spirit. And I guess many religions say so, that God is spirit. And then when we read this in a book, then we throw up our hat and say, hello, they got it now, they got it. Here they are on the way. Are they? Is their concept of the term spirit the same as we have? And in order to define that and check on that, we can just take the seven synonymous term and see, do they actually write about spirit, that it is also mind, that it is also soul and principle and life, truth and love? We can more or less have a checklist on their books and on their presentation of what they are saying and just check out if they conform to all the seven or not. And if they don't conform to the seven, we know that they have their own personal sense of spirit, that it is not the divine sense of spirit. So if we take spirit and say now, what is missing if spirit would not be mind? What would you feel? What would be spirit if it would not be at the same time also mind? One of the most important combinations you will have for the next 20 years. Spirit would be mortal. Is mortal the counterfeit of mind? Loud?
Powerless and inactive.
Powerless, inactive. Would that mean a lot? Yes, it can mean something. But what would you have to see in order that it means a lot?
It would be mindless.
Yeah, it would be mindless, huh? Or it would be... Well, it's very simple. I mean, it's so simple that you don't dare to spell it out. I know, it's kindergarten. But that's how we start, you see. You were afraid of using just the noumenon counterfeit of mind, huh? And you wanted to elaborate a little bit. But really, the hit is always when you just are first aware of the noumenon counterfeit. That today, every book that comes out now in the line of metaphysics and occultism, and I don't know what's coming out now by the thousands, they all speak about spirit. And that God is spirit, or reality is spiritual. Spirit, is it mind? Is that spirit mind with a capital M? No. No. It is usually mortal mind, human mind, or mindless. That's usually. That terrific confusion that is going on where they see where they talk as if mind and spirit for them were synonymous, and it is not synonymous for them. Not divinely synonymous. Here you have it, that they say, well, mind and spirit, that's the same in their language. But what they mean is the human mind. And the human mind and spirit are not synonymous. It's only the divine mind and spirit that are synonymous. Therefore, they have not yet accepted the mind of Christ as the Messiah, the mind that is capitalized. And this is the great lack they have in their theory, that their spirit that blows where it wants to blow is human mind, the thinking mind, mortal mind, just the humanly mental And we have to see that spirit would not be spirit as God if it would not be also mind, that divine mind. Yes?
And also with the computer.
Oh, you mean the computerized mind, the computer mind. I don't know if they, I mean, you can use it. If the world calls it mind, I don't know if they really call it the computerized mind, but that would be right, because it's a mechanical mind, it's a mechanized mind, yes. All right. What would be mind, or what would be missing if, sorry, what would be missing if spirit would not be soul? What would be missing of spirit? You see, the main point is spirit, God is spirit. What would be missing if spirit would not be soul? Spirit would be in a body, yes. It would be a bodily spirit. Huh? It would be what in this case? What is a bodily spirit?
Human beliefs.
Sorry? Human beliefs. Human beliefs, yes. Now that would have to do with mind, huh? Beliefs is a mental activity, huh? But if spirit is in body, there are spirits many, huh? You have spiritualism. That's where spiritualism comes in, huh? The moment you have spirit that is not soul, you have spirits in bodies, in people, huh? And you get the whole sense of spiritualism, of many spirits. And that's the point. That spirit, therefore, would be spirits, and no more the one unchangeable spirit. Or you can have soul, for instance, a nominal counterfeit of soul is limitation, because soul is never in anything. The moment we limit spirit, you have spirits many. And again, you come to spiritualism. That's why in the chapter on spiritualism, that tone of spirit and soul is so important. It runs right through the whole chapter. Only when we see spirit as incorporeal and unlimited, we really have spirit, or else we have spiritualism.
What about sensualism?
Or you can have sensualism, but there, that's something else, that's soul as spirit. See, you have the main point of soul and not spirit. You define spirit, and you see, if it would not be soul, you could say, all right, you have a corporeal spirit, or sensual spirit. You would have to define it that way, huh? Yeah, sensual spirit. Huh? Yeah. What would be missing if mind would not be principle? If spirit would not be principle? What do you feel?
You'd have no authority.
We would not have authorities. That's always a good point in principle. Spirit would not be an authority. And that's usually what is lacking. You see, when people are speaking about the spiritual, they feel that spiritual is something we have to put into operation. It needs our authority to put it into operation, whereas in Christian Science, we see that spirit is a principle. Therefore, spirit is its own authority, it's its own operative power, it's its own demonstrative power, yes? And so spirit would have that authority. Or if you take a negative, a nominal negative, spirit, what would be missing if spirit would not be principle?
You'd have a personal spirit.
You would have a very personal spirit. Huh? Yeah. Where we feel that the spirit of somebody is all around, and that everything depends on the spirit of somebody, the spirit of a member of the family, or the spirit of a manager in a firm, or the spirit of a president of a nation, or anything. It's always that personal sense of spirit that a person can have a spiritual impact on something. So we must see that spirit is always principle and never a person. What would be missing in spirit if it would not be life? It would not be eternal, for instance, spirit would not be eternal, would not go on eternally, yes? And, yes, it could not evolve. We'll see that afterwards, that we have to see that it's only the spirit that evolves something. Yeah, that's a good point. Then what would spirit be if truth were missing?
Erroneous,
huh? Yeah. And have you ever heard of an erring spirit? Yeah. You would have an erring spirit, but would still be spirit. Huh? Yeah. Very. Can you see how the whole human worldview comes into this exercise and puts it straight, gives it the right attitude? What would be spirit if it would not be love? Could be a hateful spirit. Have you ever heard of a hateful spirit? Huh? Yes. Huh? Or really be moved by a hateful spirit, by a fearful spirit, by a jealous spirit. You have the whole gamut of counterfeits there, which one feels is a spirit. That really an evil spirit is going around, and that hateful spirit, disharmonious spirit,
competitive spirit,
and so on. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In this way we can clarify spirit. Just in a broad way, we only have taken in some main concepts without going into details. Yeah. All right. Shall we take the next one? Soul. We say that God is soul. All right. God is soul. So what? What is that soul? And everybody has his or her own concept of soul. And therefore, if one introduces the concept that God is soul, one just has a feeling, all right, instead of having a little soul somewhere in the body, incorporated in the body, now we have a big soul, and that soul is now God. But would we have a really right concept of it? No. So we have to check this sense. What would be missing if soul would not be at the same time mind? Couldn't we have a soul without mind? What you feel would be missing?
Ideas.
Ideas? Soul without mind would not be a soul of ideas, huh? Yeah. What would it be without ideas?
The way it could exist, it'd be nothing. It could have no consciousness.
Would have no consciousness, but wouldn't it have a soul just the same? Say a plant or so. Wouldn't have a plant have a soul?
Couldn't think.
Uh huh. Yes. A non-believing. What did you say?
Non-believing or believing soul. The soul with beliefs.
Belief. Did I understand you rightly? Belief.
Yeah. A believing soul.
A believing soul.
Yeah. Or a non-believing soul.
A non-believing soul. Yes. Yes. Well, it's an interesting point because you know that Mrs. Eddy makes one big statement. She says that mind is the soul of all. It's a terrific statement. By the way, I digress quickly and put into brackets something which I really should have said long before I started the exercise. When we read Mrs. Eddy's books, does she define one synonym through the others as we do it? Does she define in the textbook one synonym through other synonyms? Yes? Does she do it very often? No. Huh? Very seldom. But she does. She, just as I said right now, that she makes a statement like this, that she says that mind is the soul of all. Therefore here she defines soul through mind, or mind through soul. But these statements are very rare. Whereas what we do now is that we define about at least 49, no, 42 actually, 42 ways of defining one synonym through another synonym. Whereas Mrs. Eddy only takes a few out of all the possibilities that you would perhaps say, as soul is spirit. For instance, she says that in the platform, as soul is spirit. You see, in this way, sometimes she defines one synonymous term through the other. Mostly it is principle love. Huh? That because love is principle. That's one rendering that she uses quite often. Or in the funny enough, most of these self-definitions are in the platform. There she says that spirit is divine principle. Or she says that love is mind. But they are very seldom. And this brings me to a fundamental point, namely that a student could ask, well, are only those definition where one synonym is defined through another synonym which appear in the textbook really the ones we should consider, and are only those definitions right? Because Mrs. Eddy doesn't give, as we are doing right now, 42 at least, because she doesn't give it, is it legitimate for the student to do it? What would you feel?
Yes.
Yes, huh? It is absolutely legitimate. So that we must see, we don't need to find in the textbook confirmation of everything we do in the study or in contemplating the system of Christian Science. We don't need to do that. A textbook in every science only gives us the fundamental laws or the fundamental rules and gives a few examples of that. Would you agree with that when you look back on your textbook on arithmetic, that it gives you the fundamental laws or rules and a few examples, which means that there are many more examples as long as they conform with the general law. And therefore, if we do now these exercises on defining one synonymous term through the other synonymous terms, we do not need to feel, where does Mrs. Eddy say so? And only if Mrs. Eddy says so, then it is right. That's now the scientific approach. In a science, you learn the fundamentals, and then it is left to the student to elaborate on that fundamental. Here the fundamental is what? The fundamental is that Mrs. Eddy says only once in the textbook that these terms are synonymous. And therefore lies the law for all self-definitions, if I may call it that way. Therefore we have the legitimate right, without trespassing on her discovery or saying something wrong, that we use that general law and say, all right, if these terms are synonymous, then I can see every term defined through the other terms. Would you agree with that? Can you see what we state? This is important because I don't just try to teach something to you. I much more seem to be trying to give you the fundamentals so that when you go out and have to meet the people then by the thousands, you will have so many thousand different questions. People will ask you all sorts of questions, and you have to be aware how to answer them on a scientific basis. Yeah. That was now in bracket. I go back to the laws. But it was necessary. We stopped at the point of soul with mind. Oh, only mind. Uh-huh. Good. So, oh yes, we were there where Mrs. Eddy says, mind is the soul of all, where we ask, what would be soul if it would not also be mind? Yes, it would be an unconscious soul, a soul that would be believe or not believe, huh? Whereas soul must be an awareness of mind, which is aware of the whole intelligence of mind. Or if you take another fundamental negative, that soul would be the same as mortal mind, which is the general attitude of psychology. In psychology, the psyche and mortal mind are exchangeable concepts. They are synonymous for the psychologists. We can just as well speak of the psyche of man or of the mentality of man. For him, that's the same. He equates mortal mind with soul. Therefore, soul to him, if you go right back to the archetypal beliefs, it's mortal mind beliefs. For him, soul is the collective unconsciousness. For him, it is all the general beliefs, the the individual beliefs, everything like that. Whereas for Christian Science, soul is only then soul when it is mind. You know, it's terrific when you think about these things. And just one ask about the impact of these insights. See, can you see that this very point of soul must be mind, that this really throws the whole science of psychology just overboard? You just can go to the whole library with a few 10,000, 100,000 books and just take them and throw them right out and say, they cannot see that soul is mind, capital N. They only see that soul is mind, small N. Do you see? It's, you know, Mr. Zilli has discovered something terrific. And in just two, three words, we can state the truth about psychology. It impresses me. It impresses me. That it could reduce, you see, those infinite questions and concepts just to a few terms and say, if you understand those few terms and know how to blend them, you have the answer in the palm of your hand for everything. We don't have to discuss long with the psychologists about all the different concepts of psychology. They change anyway psychology from one day to the next, and they have every other month comes up another psychology, a psychology of this, and psychology of that, and psychology of this, and the other, and so on. And it's all based on the counterfeit of soul and mind. So, here we have psychology of soul. What would be soul if it were not at the same time spirit?
Material soul.
A material soul? Does one believe in the material soul in the world? Does the world very much believe in a material soul? Yeah? Yeah? I don't know. I always heard that they believe that the soul is immaterial and that it leaves the body when we die. Not all. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I think it is so that because they feel that the soul can be somehow material, fleshly, that it lives on afterwards, even if it leaves the body, that it lives on afterwards in the same material way. That the departed have, so to say, the same soul as when they were here. That they are just as fleshly minded and material minded as before. Yes. That's why the spirits then can communicate through a mediumship with the people here, because they still have that limited sense of their own ego or their own I. Yes. Okay. Oh.